Weather Service is saying 100% chance of rain. That's pretty good. We certainly need it. Anyway, hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I want to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, the final day of February. That would put it at the 28th, because this is not a leap year. My nephew, he was born on a leap year day, so he has to wait every 4 years to get a birthday. But anyway, hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a great weekend. We are live here 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI. And of course, we stream our show live, and that means you're able to listen to the program anywhere there's a computer. And KVOI also streaming it, so there's two opportunities there. And of course, if you want the podcast, and a lot of people do, you can go to buckmastershow.com. That is the exclusive home of all of our shows, every one we've done over 3 years, now archived there. Our media partners are TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and blogforarizona.com. Each Friday, we like to do a media shout-out and thank those folks. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Jonathan Rothschild, mayor of the city of Tucson. With me to question the mayor, Sarah Garrett Gasson. Sarah is editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment, I will declare officially open right now the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. We also invite you to be a friend of the show on our Facebook page. Ladies first. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks.
Yeah, so is next year a leap year, do you know? No, it might be. Anyway, Mayor Rothschild, how are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you, Bill.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
And this was a very serendipitous to have you on. We tried to do that, I think, last year as well, right? The Friday after your State of the City address. And it used to be the State of the City addresses were in, I think, early in January, kind of moved it back a little bit.
It takes me that much time to get it all together.
To get the thing together.
There you go.
Anyway, you talked about a path of prosperity in the speech. What is the path to prosperity in this community?
What I've set forth is, you know, and it's a catchphrase, but it's a good way to remember these things, is the five T's, because growing up here, we learned about the five C's. And what I like to point out is that there are not really any cotton fields or cattle herds or citrus groves, at least within the city limits anymore. And the five T's really build on what we do have as strengths in this community, and we need to build on our strengths. So those T's are technology, trade, transportation, tourism, and teaching. Mm-hmm. And I spoke at the State of the City of some of the things we've done and some of the work that I think we need to do as a partial path to prosperity. I don't have control of a lot. And what I can do is set forth a vision and hope people will help us along with that vision. Not to say that there aren't other visions that aren't also other paths, but with the time I have and in the position I'm in at the City of Tucson, where can the mayor's office help the most?
And people do want overnight success. Yes, but that's another story. Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
Mayor, you just talked about your vision and how there are other visions out there about how Tucson progresses, moves forward. Isn't that, to me, looking back over the history of Tucson over the past 20 so years, it seems that these disparate views of what is the best way forward, what should Tucson be, how do we get there, is one of the things that has kind of stymied Tucson. So how do you respond to that, and how do you get people on board when not everyone thinks the same?
Right. No, Sarah, you're right about it. And what I've learned in my little over two years in office, first of all, that I have the same lack of patience that the community has, and that's frustrating. But the successes that we've had, and I spoke to that in the speech, all come about when the business community, individuals, nonprofits, and government gets together and works down one path. And we're not always going to do that. But when we can find those paths, let's do it. The ones I spoke of, downtown redevelopment is a great one, between settling Rio Nuevo, the streetcar, the incentives, which are public-private partnership. But in the nonprofit sector, where it's maybe easier to have success, but ending veterans' homelessness, rebuilding our tree canopy, helping with childhood literacy. And I use those only as examples of the model that can work. So the answer to the question from my perspective is to, you know, it's almost like you're a barnstorming preacher, is you go out with this vision, you take it to people, you ask people to come on board, and you will find synergies. And when we find those synergies, they can happen pretty fast. And so that's, I'm taking my best shot at where I think some of those synergies are or can be.
And we're also always comparing ourselves to Phoenix. It's difficult.
Well, some days it's good to be better than Phoenix.
Like when ASU loses or something.
Well,
like
you know, this 1062 thing last week.
Yeah,
I mean, can't blame it all on Phoenix. No, the state capital happens to be there.
That really reinforces to many people across the country that they question the leadership of Arizona, to put it in a very nice manner.
That's very kind.
Yes, very
kind. That was kind.
Yes,
but luckily, the governor did veto it, and she vetoed it in a way that had some sense to it, and I think we need to get that message out. But look, we're not Phoenix, and we don't want to be Phoenix. At the same time, well, I will give you an example. We go to look for big employers,
mm-hmm.
okay? One of the issues when a big employer comes to a community the size of a million, it could be Albuquerque, it could be a lot of cities, is let's say I need 5,000 employees. That would be a huge success for this community. Do you have 5,000 employees for us? And that's something that's just now dawning on me. In a city of 4 million people, the answer is, oh, sure. In a city of a million people, maybe not so much. So, again, we have to be who we have to be. We have to build on our strengths, and we have to – we will – Tucson is going to be here. Tucson is going to retain our uniqueness. Part of it is our geographic uniqueness, which I, you know, obviously like to talk about a lot. We will succeed, but it is hard work.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. I believe we have Matthew with a question or comment for the mayor. Go ahead, Matthew.
First, Mr. Mayor, I did listen to your State of the City on TV, and I think it was excellent.
Thank you,
especially
Matt.
How you spoke about DM. Real quickly, the main function, the main revenue of the city is city sales taxes.
Yep.
As you know, the state legislature did make a significant change to taxes around the state.
Yep.
Where is the city, because it's the most significant part of the budget, where is the city on sales taxes right now? Where are we benchmarked? Are we seeing an increase or a decrease either based off the legislature's actions or just the economy in general? Thank you.
Based on the economy in general, we are seeing an increase, and that's good news for all of us. It is not at the speed I think any of us would like, but we are definitely seeing upbeat. I think actually in the last 3 years, I think we're up 7%, 8% cumulative. The state legislature continues, when they look at tax cuts, to look at sales tax cuts in different sectors, and that comes directly to cities. So that increase is tempered by that decrease. But the problem is that those increases, that rate of increase, may not be quick enough to keep up with just fixed expenses.
Josh is next on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Josh. You're with the mayor.
First, thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, just a couple quick questions. First is Broadway expansion.
Sure.
Do you believe RTA should keep its promise and do what they said they were going to do when we voted for it? And second, would the city be better served with ward-only elections?
Thank you. Two-part question.
Well, two very good questions that I probably don't have soundbite answers for. But with regard to Broadway, actually what the RTA says is that you will build to functionality, and there is an ongoing process right now that has been very spirited and I think in some ways very healthy, where they're trying to determine what functionality is, not what a 1986 study said that determined what the RTA said. And I think we're coming to consensus around Broadway. I think, and I don't want to predict or lay bets, but I think you will be looking at six lanes with some multimodal future options, and hopefully that's going to work for everybody. The second question, ward-only elections.
Mm-hmm.
That
question has come up forever.
Yeah, and it's a yin and a yang.
The yin?
Well, the yin is that a certain part of the city gets represented, and our city, interestingly enough, is in the city limits, does have specific characters. The east side is a character. The south side is a character. The west side, central. And those folks like to be represented by themselves.
Geographic centric, you're saying.
Yeah. Quite frankly, I've been actually probably proud of the fact, but sometimes surprised, that our city for years in citywide elections has elected Hispanics on the west side, because it wouldn't necessarily have to be that way, but our city's been respectful of that. On the other hand, the idea that you represent only a ward and you're not thinking citywide might be a drawback. So I, when it comes to those kind of things, I like to say I'll play by whatever rules you throw me, because I can see both sides of it. And I will tell you that in terms of annexation, if you're thinking about that in the future, I think a ward-only system may be a better system.
All right. Mayor Rothschild is with us. He will stay over for another segment, but right now it's time to listen. And we ask you to do so and support the people that make our work here in Southern Arizona possible, the Buckmaster Show sponsors. We'll be right back with Mayor Rothschild.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new Mountain Slopes of Aleo project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. Biosphere 2, open daily, north of Tucson, America's science city.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:20 on this Friday afternoon with our Friday Focus interview. Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild is with us, and so is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, and Sarah is up to the plate.
One question I wanted to get your thoughts on is we've been talking a lot about Davis-Monthan word out of from Secretary Hagel saying we want to phase out the A-10s. What is the situation, and is DM in danger?
Well, first of all, and I think it has to be very clear, and the community does need to come together on this, DM is not going away. And DM is not going away because there's a number of missions there, one of the principal missions being the Boneyard, and the Boneyard isn't going anywhere. But this A-10 discussion should be one that this community catalyzes around. If we lose the A-10, it is my pretty good information that we could lose, over time, close to 2,000 jobs. That's a big hit for this community.
And those are jobs of people who, civilian jobs of people who live in Tucson?
No, I think it's both military and civilian.
It's a mix.
It's a
mixture, yeah.
So first of all, when I talk to military people, they like the A-10. When I talk to political people like Ron Barber, like Senator McCain, they like the A-10. So I'm not sure how this is all going to play out. But if anything, it could be this wake-up call. One, that we're going to need this A-10. Two, the A-10 is going to have to be replaced by something. Some of these new planes don't do what the A-10 does. So we need to be ready for that mission. But there are things that go on at Davis-Monthan, border security. The military drone program, we're one of the five locations in the country with the military drone program where we operate them out of here in conjunction with Sierra Vista. The search and rescue, which actually we train people here for around, you know, to go into Afghanistan and pick people up off the ground. And so we need to really be, as a community, pushing those programs which will help support the base.
Well, what happens if, I mean, because the decision is not within your control as mayor of the city or...
Nor any other mission that may come here.
Right. Or Pima County Board of Supervisors. I mean, the community is sort of at the mercy of people who are making decisions in a removed area. So what if the A-10 does go away? How do you plan ahead for the loss of those sort of jobs? What kind of backup plan does the city and a community have?
Well, I mean, I think that everything we do, and there is a much more macro picture, which says the military may be reduced in size, not just here in Tucson, but all across the country. And that's why, you know, I'm very sold on being more diverse as a community in terms of jobs. You know, for a long time we were real estate based and we saw what happened there. So when I start talking about things like, I think DM will be here. I think we have to fight for all those missions. But we have, you know, we were rated last year as one of the top five cities in the United States for young entrepreneurs. Okay, number one with entrepreneurs with a city our size. We've got these spaces coming in downtown that are really vibrant. And in business, you know, people say, oh, this restaurant went out of business. Well, yeah, they do, and new ones come along. What's really important for our business community is that we be vibrant, that we're always thinking about cutting edge kind of things. And that applies to the military as well. We've just got to be there for those programs.
The deficit, is it about $33 million of the, that the city is facing?
Well, that's what we've been told.
Yeah. But historically, over the last few years, that's less than...
Actually, this from the first reports, this is actually less correct than it's been in recent years. But that's not the issue. We will make this budget work. The city manager has assured me that he can do it.
You have to by law, don't you?
Well, we will. But the question is, the question is, what city services you provide and how efficiently you're providing them. And I think we can do some restructuring and get that done. The long range question is, we do this every year. And as I said in the State of the City, I have a city staff that, quite frankly, I think in some ways is heroic. They are doing jobs that are time and a half. But they've been doing this for years. And at some point, where does that point break? And the federal government, and not just to Tucson, but also has been cutting back monies to cities for years now. The state government has not been helping in that regard. And so our paths are essentially a vibrant business community in cities, a vibrant business community, good cooperation with the regional governments, and potentially annexations where we get more state shared revenue. Those are the three paths that I see to provide more city services.
When does the streetcar start running?
I think we're going to set a date. I hope this isn't a scoop to anybody. July 25th is our target date to have it running.
That's the first I've heard. Well, July 25th. Okay, so
I'm writing that down.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Do you have all the approval that you need now from the government to start it on July 25th?
We do.
Transportation Department or whatever.
Yeah, one of the issues is we were supposed to have 8 cars. My guess is we will not have 8 cars by July 25th. So what we have done, and we've been in regular communication with the FTA, we've asked for a waiver to essentially run what we have. We already have 4 cars. I suspect, I am hoping, it will not be a problem to have 6 cars for certain. And we can run the thing well on 5 cars. You can only run 6 cars at the most anyway on that line. So I think we're going to be okay. I'm hoping not to have a bump in that streetcar road.
You don't have to wait for Portland to send us some backup cars.
Right.
No.
All right, here's Sarah Garrett-Gaston of The Star.
We were talking earlier about the big drama up in Phoenix at the Capitol with SB 1062 and Governor Brewer's ultimate veto after several days of talking letting this kind of
think
fester.
About it.
Tucson is very different as a community than the rest of Arizona, than even Maricopa County. But we all in the national spotlight kind of get painted with the same brush. I know I had lots of people saying, what the heck's going on over in Arizona, from across the country and across the world. So how do we as Tucsonans differentiate ourselves and say, that's not us?
I don't know how much time I have. I could tell you a really good story. But first of all, I think Flagstaff, Bisbee, Sedona, Metropolitan Phoenix are very much like us. Here's the story. It's the only way I can tell it. Okay. I went back a few years ago to Birmingham and did a civil rights tour. And it was sort of living history where you met people who were there. They were older now. And it was really very powerful. But one of the stories was that even in Alabama in 1963, Bull Connor, first of all, when he put the hoses on those people, mm-hmm. he'd been voted out of office. He was just in his lame duck. But when you met the Anglos who were still there, they said, you know, what people don't know is 48% of us never like this. And I think we have to express, and I express this week because I got a lot of emails the same way, this is not who Arizona is. We really aren't. Now, how people get elected, I think it's something you got to look at, whether it's the gerrymandering, whether it's clean elections or too much money. We argue about that. Because I didn't hear anybody, and I obviously run in different circles, say they supported 1062. No one. And quite frankly, what I was going to do, if it wasn't fixed by tomorrow, I was going to say you have to post. You're not going to serve, just post at public safety. You know, we don't want to see disputes in this legal thing. So you just post whether you won't serve. And I don't think there would have been anyone who would have said they wouldn't. And so, yeah, why sometimes we go off on those political ideologies, quite frankly, on both sides.
It's a good point. You're talking about the representative. How representative are these people mm-hmm. of the state of Arizona? It's a very good point. And the phone calls going into the governor's office were, I don't know exactly what it was, but it, let's say vastly, overwhelmingly urging her to veto the legislation.
Well, my great joke about it was I'm sure she got 10,000 calls, but I bet that call from the NFL on the Super Bowl influenced
yeah.
her.
Ah, that was probably...
Not a
Put
lot
that
of hold
call
time
at the top of the list. I'm out of time, but I do want to. Rio Nuevo took an important action yesterday. The board approved the final bids for the TCC upgrades.
Oh, great. Yeah. Thank you for telling me.
No, so that will hopefully move that process.
No, that's interesting. And, you know, again, power personality. Fletcher is doing everything within his power. And we don't always agree to be certain, but he communicates, we discuss, we try to get to solutions, and that's helpful.
All right, Mayor Rothschild, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Ben.
Have a great weekend.
I'm a wet one, I think, but we'll be there.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Moncada Construction. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Chris Moncada and his team specialize in interior painting. Check them out. I mean, they do it fantastic carpentry. They do drywall repair, insurance restoration, 520-390-2247, or on the web at Moncada, M-O-N-C-A-D-A, construction.com. We'll be right back with our Reporters Roundtable.
Do you want to learn how to live healthier for your stage of life?
Then make plans to attend the Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo on March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Discover new ways to enrich your daily life, stay healthier, and be informed and engaged for the different life stages from midlife and beyond.
The Pima Council on Aging Ages and Stages Expo features 150 local exhibitors, a wide range of fun activities, food, demonstrations, seminars, prizes, and live musical entertainment.
The Ages and Stages Expo is free for adults of all ages, March 8th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Casino del Sol. Event proceeds benefit Pima Council on Aging. For more info, visit pcoa.org. Presented in part by Arizona Daily Star, Assurance Healthcare, TEP, and this station.
If aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. So attend the PCOA Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo, March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business!
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Friday Roundtable, and we welcome now Mark Evans. Mark is the editor of Inside Tucson Business, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And of course, I welcomed Sarah at the beginning of the show, so now it's
I'll welcome you again.
I'll welcome you again. You're always welcome, and of course, we welcome now Mark. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing good. What do you say, BB?
Well, I learned a couple of things. It's always nice when you're in the news business and we learn some things. Well, I learned.
We're all just a bunch of gossips, aren't
we? Yeah, I mean, I learned a couple of things during the mayor's visit with us. One, July 25th apparently is the date for the launch of the modern streetcar.
They're hoping.
Yes,
yeah.
Assuming.
Yeah. They got to get the feds to sign off.
Right, have to sign off on a reduced number of cars, 6, maybe 8. But and I also learned, it's the first time I've heard how many jobs, if the A-10 goes away, we would lose. And the mayor says it's his understanding, Mark, it would be about 2,000 jobs, combination civilian and Air Force.
Well, yeah, those are just the jobs at the M that are geared towards supporting the airmen and their function and the role that a DM provides with the A-10, because there's a number of A-10 units there. There's a training unit. There's another unit that's just an A-10 unit, A-10 base. It's the headquarters for the for that aircraft. So there's a lot of jobs there. So if the A-10 were to go away, then those jobs would go away. Then that would have some trickle effect outside of the base for all the businesses and subcontractors in town who provide services to them when they come off the base, as well as providing services to the base.
So the mission is, they need to find another mission if the A-10 goes away. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. The Boneyard's not leaving.
And the Boneyard's not going to go anywhere. There's no economical way to move, you know, 11,000 aircraft or whatever that's stored out there.
Yeah.
But the amount of people that are necessary to, you know, to keep an eye on those planes and to keep them up to speed or whatever is not nearly the same amount as the A-10 training base and detachment. The prospects of finding another mission, though, are slim. Because assuming that, you know, we don't go to war in Ukraine, peace will break out and we won't be fighting in Afghanistan. We won't be fighting. We're no longer fighting in Iraq. And hopefully we won't be fighting anywhere else. And we will get the peace dividend that we got in the 90s at the end of the Cold War, similar in this decade to the end of the wars in the Middle East, and we will have a reduced military. You had the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, propose a very reduced military. So the chances in that type of contraction and reduction of the overall military, of us finding another Air Force function or mission for A-10 or for DM would seem slim, I would think.
Okay, the big story of the week certainly was the SB 1062 and the governor's decision. Will she veto or will she not? I think the mayor, Sarah, hit it on the head that you have to wonder about how representative are these people that brought this SB 1062 of the rest of us that live in Arizona.
Right. I mean, Ethan Orr, Tucson Republican, voted against it. I think he should be commended for that, as did two other Republicans when it went on the party line vote, and every Democrat voted against it. The thing I think at this point, we're thanking Governor Brewer for vetoing it. It should never have gotten to that point. I mean, it should never have gotten past, it shouldn't have gotten to her desk.
After it left the House and Senate with approval, the governor could have easily said, folks, or she could have even said before that, this is going to be dead on arrival.
She won't do that, though. No. She doesn't talk about legislation until it gets to her office. It's one of the things that drives me crazy about the way she governs, is that there's even when she vetoes stuff, she catches legislators by surprise, not with something this controversial, because she never telegraphed at all that she had a particular problem with maybe one part that they could have easily changed during committee. But so it's, you know, her saying, hey, don't do this, I'm going to veto it. It was not her MO. Plus, she may not even have been aware of it because she's kind of detached.
Well, even the day of the veto, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sarah, she brought both sides together and was having consultations about whether she should veto the thing.
Yeah.
Or sign it.
She had said that in her
But then when the NFL called.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently, because she said in her comment she doesn't listen to the cheers or the boos, but she does listen to the NFL.
Yeah, like Super
and
Bowl.
And Apple and Google, you know, because Google Fiber was quibbling about whether to put in the Google Fiber in Phoenix, which is going to be huge for Phoenix.
And Apple was talking about the recent 800 jobs they had moved to Phoenix, questioning whether it was a good idea to keep those people there.
But part of the thing, I think, I mean, yes, the economic ramifications were clear and we should learn from history with the MLK Day, with SB 1070. There are economic ramifications. But and I don't want to say that it's an aside, but that is not the primary reason, in my opinion, to have vetoed this. It opened the door to open discrimination by people who could then claim, but it's my sincerely held religious belief that I don't want to serve whoever the would-be customer is.
And those religious freedoms are already covered.
Absolutely.
In the state of Arizona, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, so. And people have said, one of the things that I've heard from people, well, if you don't want, you don't shop at businesses that don't want your business. But that's not the way the system and our rights to as Americans work. It's if you're going to provide a service, be open for business, you should be open to everyone who walks in the door.
That's right. You should be open to everyone, but that doesn't mean you have to do business with everyone. We're actually, our cover story for next week, for next Friday, we're actually looking at is where the line gets drawn, because you cannot force someone, a business owner, to do, just like you can't force a consumer to go do business with a particular business, you cannot force a business owner to do business with a particular consumer. For instance, if you have, say, a Jewish owner of a small little mini mark, and some skinheaded guy comes in with swastika tattoos all up and down his neck, does he have to do business with that guy? Does he have to serve him? No, he can throw him out. Has that man's rights been violated? Probably not. Depends on the reason. So what we're looking at is where these legal lines get drawn. Where is denial of service simply the right of a business owner to choose who they want to do business with, and when does it become discrimination? And unfortunately, that line is fuzzy and gray and crooked, and it's hard to really figure out.
Because back in the 60s, you know where I'm going with this, in the hippy-dippy days,
a hippie, Bill?
I had pretty long hair, and you know, I wore sandals and stuff like that. But, you know, I was a kid growing up in the late 60s, and I recall signs in restaurants, we reserve the right to not serve people who come in barefoot.
Well, and that was a health code thing. Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't think they said we reserve the right to serve people that have long hair. There, I mean, I guess could they have said something like
well,
that?
Well, because there's a because U of A is in town, and there's a lot of Muslims from around the country that go to that school, and we have a large Muslim population in Tucson. There are a number of businesses that tend to cater towards the dietary interests of those people and other things. And God, I said those people.
You did.
I did. I'm terrible. And so, you know, could a devout Muslim business owner require women of any kind who come into his store to cover their head and wear the hijab? Probably not. Could he refuse to serve them? Probably not. So, you know, when you put up the open for business sign, there are some things that you have to do as a business owner that you do not discriminate against.
Isn't that called public convenience?
It's public accommodation.
Oh, public accommodation.
And there's protected classes. And the protected classes include sex, you know, gender, religion, and
race.
Uh-huh. But it doesn't include sexual orientation.
All right, let's go to Charles. Charles Heller, I believe, is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Charles, how are you today?
Good, you're correct. And Bill, you still do wear sandals and have long hair, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, now that I'm not on TV anymore, right. You've noticed I can wear my hair as long as I
want. Long hair hippie.
A little lately, you know? Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to get to a question for you guys. And you know, there's some businesses that have signs up where I'd like to go that say, we don't serve your kind here. And those are places that serve alcohol. And they put up a sign that makes my presence in the place unwelcome because I happen to travel armed. Hmm. How is that any different than this?
That's a choice that you're making to carry a particular thing. That is not based on who you are biologically as a person. That's a completely different situation.
They're discriminating against them based on their
behavior.
They're
making a choice saying we don't.
Identical.
It is not. It is absolutely, positively not the same situation. Choosing to carry a weapon or a purse or whatever is a vastly different situation than how you are as a person biologically. That's just, it's ridiculous.
What she said.
Okay. big political story. Congressman Ed Pastore. Where did this come from? Sort of out of the blue, say he's not going to run for re-election.
Surprise, surprise. No one really knew that he was going to retire since he doesn't really talk
no
to the
media. No one even knew. No.
He doesn't have much of a public presence. He doesn't make speeches on the floor.
A guy who flies under the radar screen.
Yeah. Huh? I mean, for 20 years.
Yeah.
So this opens the door to
It makes it another fun election for the people up in Phoenix and who's going to fill that seat. I mean, it's a really good gig and a lot of people like to have that job. So I would expect the floodgates are going to open. It will definitely have, like it did down here, it will have trickle down effects into the legislature because you're going to probably see people in the legislature jump to run for that seat.
Sarah, TUSD held an event. It's their strategic planning. They're putting together a 5-year strategic plan. Folks sat around and talked about the future at TUSD this week. I think it was an 8-hour session, and this probably wouldn't have gotten the publicity it did if there hadn't been this kind of a dust-up over the consulting firm that TUSD hired to do the actual work for the conference.
Right. And the background on that is that the firm that was hired by TUSD, they went out and solicited 3 bids. 2 were just unrealistic to the utmost. It was Bain and McKinsey. And that's just really, really out of the league of a local school district. And then this firm, CRSS, that H.T. Sanchez, the new superintendent in TUSD, had done work with before
in Texas.
So he knew their work, which is great.
Nothing wrong with that.
He had
good success with them.
The problem came when he said that he had, he was shocked and stunned. That's not a quote, that's me. But that it was just, quote, a coincidence. He did say that.
A series of coincidences.
Yes. It just all sort of lines up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That the bids, that they had been a company that had been solicited for a bid, and lo and behold, they were the only ones who responded. So therefore, they get the contract for $92,500. So if Sanchez had just said, you know what, I know these people, they've done good work, why don't we talk to them? And had a legitimate...
But the appearance...
Yeah, it's just...
Looked
bad. And the idea that there was... That the assistant superintendent who was in charge of putting out the bids had no clue that he was associated was just laughable. And I think that's where TUSD gets into trouble.
And one hopes that this isn't more a plan to have a plan type stuff that we've seen in the city, in the county, and at TUSD before, that there's actually, once this dust settles on this little kerfuffle, that something concrete happens, that it's turnaround for TUSD.
As Tim Steller said, we love to sit around and talk and do something.
We do enjoy
a
good report.
We love forums. We love town halls. We love open forums. But anyway, that's for another topic. And that's going to do it for our Reporters Roundtable. Let's move on to Weekend Watch. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of Metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Check out the fantastic savings during the February Valentine's Day sale at the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
All right, welcome to Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show with Matt Russell. Weekend Watch brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just three and a half hours east of Tucson to Silver City, and so much to do, great hiking in the area, and of course, historic Silver City with all the great art galleries. You can find out about all the great places to stay and things to do at southwestnewmexico.org, great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Matt Russell, who is decked out now in his Mardi Gras beads, all ready to go after writing your column today about Mardi Gras food.
Absolutely, Bill. I mean, the Fat Tuesday planning has commenced in full force. And as you know, Tuesday is coming up, and I thought I would brush up on my crawfish curriculum. So I sat down with a Louisiana native and local restaurateur to get a handle on the right way to eat these little critters. So your listeners can pick up a copy of Inside Tucson Business and find out how I did.
And I think you did a real nice job. How about new restaurant openings? Seems like there's always something coming and going.
Absolutely. And you know what, Bill? The foothills are all abuzz today as the new restaurant up at the Westin La Paloma Resort officially opens for business this afternoon. It's called Poppy Kitchen, and they describe it, Bill, quite simply as food you want to eat. It's the newest concept from the team that brought you Jack's Kitchen, The Abbey, and Geo Taco, so expect the menu to be a solid dose of comfort food for really every personality and palate. It's located in that same space that used to house Janos Wilder's J-Bar for so long, so you'll get the same spectacular views with some new and innovative dishes and drinks. I say give Poppy Kitchen a try for happy hour and dinner tonight.
And, of course, if you want to do a little wine tasting to celebrate the Mardi Gras Saturday night, where do you go?
Absolutely. Fans of the Arizona Wine Country now have the opportunity to taste some fruits of the vine without leaving Tucson with tomorrow's official opening of Flying Leap Vineyards' new tasting room at River and Campbell in St. Phillips Plaza, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, Bill, on Saturday, and going all day. You can get a chance to taste up to 7 different wines in a glass you can take home for only $12.95. So sample the spectrum of Arizona wines tomorrow at Flying Leap's new tasting room tomorrow, St. Phillips Plaza. Wine at 9 has a nice little ring to it.
Yeah, go out go out for breakfast and then line up so you're ready to go and be there for the wine tasting at 9
a.m. Right.
Sharp. What's going on? I heard about a fundraiser at, I think it's at Jonathan's Cork.
Yeah, this is a great, a lot of fun for the family. On Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., Chef Jonathan Landine over, as you said, at Jonathan's Cork on Tancredi is going to be hosting a barbecue fundraiser for a nonprofit organization called Therapeutic Riding for Animals and Kids, which we know as TRAC. And this impressive barbecue buffet is going to be the centerpiece for the event, along with a petting zoo for the kids, live music, and an option to raise some money for this great cause. The entire afternoon, Bill, is only $35 for adults and $15 for kids. So grab the family and head over to Jonathan's Cork for a great barbecue and tons of fun on Sunday afternoon.
Well, it's going to be a great weekend, and I know you're back from the west coast of Florida. Did you get enough seafood down there? It looked like your posts on Facebook, you are really having some beautiful meals down there.
Yeah, you know, I got as intimate as one could get with snapper, Bill. There's a photo on my Facebook page. I love a great snapper. Snapper and grouper are such great finds there in West Florida, and we always have such a great time. Plenty of beach, plenty of great food, plenty of wonderful cocktails. Just never get enough time to spend there.
All right, Matt Russell, have a great weekend.
You too as well, Bill. Thanks.
Bye. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan Better Water Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. We thank Culligan. All of the in-studio guests here on the Buckmaster Show enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water, as do the employees here at KVOI. And we thank Culligan for their support. Coming up tomorrow morning, the expert talk begins. Phil Cedar, my friend, will be talking about what to do in the garden as we have spring approaching and maybe some rain this weekend. Talk of maybe up to 1 inch of rain. That would be wonderful. We have expert talk Saturday and Sunday here on KVOI. And then, of course, it starts all over again. The weekday lineup, the local talk with Chris and Joe, Wake Up Tucson on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice from 6 to 8. Then Christy Simone and the Daily Double from 8 to 9, and then Rosemary Brandt and I will be back with you at 12:04 on Monday for the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, my producer, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Back with you on Monday.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.